Areena.
Hello and welcome once again to All Points North. I'm Ronan Brown, and this week we're going to be talking about Finnish citizenship. And that's the topic this week because Finland's government has once again tightened the regulations around who qualifies to receive a Finnish passport. So a few weeks ago, the Finnish Parliament approved the government's latest round of measures. These relate to an applicant's financial self-sufficiency as well as what's called their integrity. Now, integrity in this context means that any offences or crimes that a person commits will have a greater impact on whether they can be granted citizenship under the new laws. But that's just an aside, because the financial self-sufficiency aspect is the one that has caught most people's attention, because it includes a provision that if the applicant has relied on certain social welfare benefits for more than 3 months over a 2-year period, they will not qualify for Finnish citizenship. There are other changes as well, but that one in particular has caused a lot of confusion as well as a lot of concern. But before we get deeper into the new regulations, I want to add a reminder here that this is just the second stage of the government's 3-stage process aimed at tightening the rules around Finnish citizenship. Some of you will no doubt remember last year when the period of residency before a person can apply for a Finnish passport, that is, the amount of time they have lived in the country, that was extended from 4 years to 5 years for some and from 5 years to 8 years for others. Now, there was quite a reaction to that change as well as plenty of media coverage at the time, but when we did a little bit of digging here at Yle News, we found that in practice, most applicants are still eligible to apply after 5 years. So despite all the government's big words, not much had actually changed for the vast amount of potential applicants. So now that was stage one, the residency requirement. We're now in stage two, which is the financial self-sufficiency and the integrity that I mentioned earlier. And there's also going to be a stage three, which will see the introduction of a citizenship test. Now, of course, aside from the changes to the Citizenship Act, we have also seen the tightening of the rules around the granting of residence permits, for example, including the introduction of a 3-month rule, which I'm sure you've heard, but I'll just remind you, could see a foreign national deported from Finland if they are out of work for a period of more than 3 months. So there is a huge amount going on here, and all of this has naturally left many people wondering about their place in this society. We, in fact, heard from quite a few of them this past week after we put out a call for people to send us their questions and their comments on these latest changes to the citizenship laws. What was very clear from the hundreds of emails and the comments and the WhatsApp messages we received was that this matters a great deal to a lot of people. Here's Usman expressing a feeling that we heard from many others too.
Hi, I'm a permanent resident of Finland and I've lived here for about 12 years. I'm working as a postdoctoral researcher at a university here. I'm married to a Finnish citizen, own an apartment. I also have a dog. And about the changes to the Finnish Aliens Act and the citizenship laws, as of late, they seem like they're devised to persecute foreigners for no reason. It's as if the non-voting minority is being persecuted in Finland. The fact is, in fact, that after having lived here for so long, now I have started to feel that Finland is not the country I came to. In fact, I'm a Pakistani citizen and I belong to a privileged class there, and I might as well go back there and I would have a better life compared to here, where I'm increasingly underprivileged And this does not even take into account the racism that prevails on the streets. I've been attacked several times, discriminated against, and systematically and non-systematically, and there are no consequences for that.
We also heard this week from Bronwyn Vainionpää. She's a joint citizen of Australia and New Zealand, and she moved here to Finland, as so many people do, for love. And that was back in 2023, just before this current government came into power and before these law changes were rolled out. Her comment on our article really resonated with people, so I asked her if we could chat more about her experience. And the first question I had for her was how she felt when she first made the decision to move halfway around the world, whether she was excited or not for this new life adventure.
Yes, I have to say, I was full of hope. I visited Finland a few times and I loved it. And I probably had the rose-tinted glasses on at that point. And you hear so much about it, and it is a wonderful country, but I really did not have much of an idea of the realities, actually, of being a foreigner here. And
What are the realities, would you say? What then have you learned since then, since you moved?
well, I still love it. I love it here, but it has been far, far more difficult than I really had ever imagined. I haven't picked up the language as I hoped, which I think is a pretty common sentiment, I think, among foreigners. And the employment, that's been the biggest disappointment, I guess. I had hoped to become a citizen. I really did. That was one of the things when I decided to move, I immediately thought, well, yeah, I would love to become a Finnish citizen. It was my intention to integrate, to learn the language, to find employment. But yeah, it's turned out quite different.
Yeah, so how do you feel about these new laws being introduced? This is these kind of three phase changes to the citizenship law, sorry. How do you feel about and how they've affected you as well?
They will affect me, yes. And in all honesty, I do feel that they are quite targeted and a little bit unfair, to be perfectly honest. I can understand some of the changes, and I do think they're reasonable. And these are things that I feel like if you put in the effort and if you put in the work, and you have, a reasonable motivation to integrate, it's doable. However, I think for me, the one thing that I really disagree with is the unemployment benefit rule, because a lot of us foreigners, we have absolutely no choice right now.
Yeah.
And the employment situation, there's not really a whole lot that we can do about it to improve our job prospects. And anything that we do, such as like learning Finnish to a high level, that's going to take it for me anyway, it's going to take years. So I don't think it's fair. I really don't.
Yeah. And does it add to like a sense of sort of exclusion from the society that you can't even apply to be a citizen until you've ticked these boxes? Or how does it make you feel about your place here?
Absolutely. And to be honest, this is how I've been feeling. I do feel that I feel that every new law and rule that they've made recently surrounding, integration of foreigners and citizenship, and it's been made to make it harder for us, more difficult, and it's already difficult. I feel that we're just not wanted. I feel like the government, they would love nothing more, better than me to just pack my bags and go back to New Zealand, and that would be a real shame. I think it really would, because I do love Finland, and I really wanted to make it work here.
And that was Bronwyn Vainionpää there. And I have to say that listening to her experience and Usman's, as well as the many other people who contacted us this week, really raises some serious questions about Finland's integration policies. Because here we have very well-educated people with professions coming here and wanting to integrate, being eager to work, being even desperate to make a contribution to Finnish society, but somehow they're left feeling excluded and that they have little choice left but to return home. And this point was even further illustrated by an email we received from a Finnish-born Finnish citizen called Juho Keskinen, who wrote to tell us that he is married to a non-EU citizen and that this law change is, and I'm going to quote him here, again, a nail in the coffin of making things more difficult for non-EU citizens living in Finland. His spouse's life, Juho added, has been made difficult not just with this new legislation about citizenship, but by the change in attitude towards those from abroad. This causes immense stress on his spouse and by extension on Juho. And he ended his email with this: I want to indicate here that those affected by this legislation are not only those directly under the scope of the new law, there will be a lot of collateral damage on Finnish citizens as well, as their spouses are denied any prospect of a stable future in this country. Okay, that's it for part one. We will take a quick break now, and when we come back, we will answer some of the hundreds of questions we received from listeners this week about the changes to the citizenship laws. Okay, so as I mentioned, we published an article earlier this week asking people to send us in their questions and their comments about the latest changes to the citizenship laws. We did this because we noticed, once again, that the law changes were causing no end of confusion and concern among Finland's immigrant community. And the emails and the messages we received absolutely reflected that. So I collated all the questions and I put them to two experts at Finland's Interior Ministry. They were Hanna Pikkanen and Roope Jokinen. They are tasked with drafting this new legislation and interpreting its meaning. Now, I should at this point draw a distinction between the Interior Ministry and the Finnish Immigration Service, Migri. The Ministry drafts the law and Migri implements it. So we will hear a bit more from Migri later. But getting back to the questions we received, I thought actually when I started working on this episode a few weeks ago that I had a pretty good handle on the citizenship laws and the consequences of these changes. But there were so many more stories and situations and scenarios that I could not have imagined that people will face as a result of these law changes. Now, unfortunately, I can't cover absolutely all of them or answer all of them, but I will try to answer them, or as many of them as I can and as comprehensively as I can. So we did actually receive about 250 questions in total, and I think they can be broadly broken down, however, into about five main categories. And those five categories are the wording of the law itself and what it means, what happens to applications that are already submitted, about which benefits are included or not included, and then there were questions about spouses, and there were questions about children. So I'm going to try and go through each of them in turn, starting with the first one and probably the question that we received the most, or the topic we received the most questions about. So the new law states that a person who has claimed certain social benefits for more than 3 months over a 2-year period may not be granted citizenship. Okay, but when does that 2-year period start? Does it start, for example, when you submit your application or when the processing of the application begins by Migri? Actually, the answer to both of those questions is no, it's neither of those. The ministry told me that the 2 years is counted from the date the decision is made. That is, the 2 years prior to the granting of citizenship. So if I use myself as an example here, if I submit an application for citizenship today, the 7th of November 2025, but a decision is not made until, let's say, this day next year, then the 2-year period is from the 7th of November 2026, or the 2 years ahead of that date. So that obviously throws up lots more questions. For example, I spoke to Migri this week and they told me that the maximum processing time for an adult citizenship application is 2 years and 7 months. That's the maximum. They also said that about 40% of applications are processed within 1 year and 3 months. So I will use myself as an example again here just to keep it simple. If I submit my application today and I have, say, 10 years of permanent employment behind me and I've never collected any benefits during that time, but then I lose my job after I've submitted my application or while Migri is processing my application, what then? Well, that is something that many people asked us, and so I passed that question on to the ministry's experts. This is word for word what they told me. In the government's proposal, there is one example concerning a situation where the applicant has become unemployed after having submitted an application for citizenship. An exemption based on very serious reasons could be possible if the applicant has been working for several years before unemployment. So, end quote. So, in practice, I take this to mean that decisions about the 3 months over the 2 years rule will be made on a case-by-case basis. Okay, next question. Some people also contacted us to say they have already submitted an application, or will do, before the new rules come into force on the 17th of December. Here is Noor with a question that was also on many other people's minds.
The main question is basically if these new laws have an impact on the citizenship applications that have been already submitted and are still awaiting to be processed in the queue. So I'm asking this question because my application is basically been submitted last year, early December 2024, for citizenship, and it's still in the queue. And on top of that, when I heard, and I mean, when I read this news, that the new citizenship, about this new citizenship laws, so it's actually worrying me because I'm really concerned whether this new law would actually affect my application, which is still awaiting to be processed, which means not yet being reviewed.
So I put this very question to the ministry and they replied that the new amendments only apply to applications that are submitted on the 17th of December or after that. If an application has been submitted before that, then the new amendments do not apply. Okay, question 3 or category 3. Which social benefits will the 3 month, 2 year law apply to? There are many kinds of social benefits, from unemployment benefits to parental leave, so which apply and which do not? So the ministry's experts told me that this amendment applies only to unemployment benefits or social assistance, or some combination of the two. And social assistance, although it sounds very broad, is a very specific kind of benefit known as toimeentulotuki in Finnish, and it's considered a sort of last resort form of social benefit. The ministry's experts' exact words on this were, if the income of the applicant is based on any other sources than unemployment benefits or social assistance, the requirement may be fulfilled. But I did have another question about the wording of that may be fulfilled. It's interesting, especially in the light of a question we received from Artem.
Does living on personal saving during searching for work period still meet the self-sufficiency requirement?
Essentially, Artem is asking if the law change focuses on being unemployed or collecting unemployment benefits. The ministry told me that being unemployed as such does not affect the fulfillment of the requirement. It is the collection of the benefits for a period of more than 3 months over 2 years that would affect the citizenship application. And we received many other questions about this topic, from people asking if the startup grant they receive for setting up a new business affects the application, or parental allowance or sick leave pay. But the word I got from the ministry was that only unemployment benefit and social assistance are counted in this context. Okay, so category 4. This one relates to spouses, and there were once again many different angles to this question. April, for example, wrote in to tell us that she is a housewife and her husband is the breadwinner in the house. She doesn't claim any benefits as her husband's income is enough to support them both. But then how does this affect her own self-sufficiency in the eyes of the law? Well, although not quite the same situation, we also heard from Claire with something similar.
I've lived in Finland nearly 23 years and would like to try for citizenship. I've never claimed any money from the government. I am a small business owner and my pay is low. I'm married to a Finn and together our pay supports us. Does the fact that my pay alone is low affect me gaining citizenship?
So April and Claire and many other people we heard from basically live on the combined income of their household, but wondered how this would be interpreted under the new in law. Are they considered, in these cases, to be self-sufficient? Well, the answer, according to the Interior Ministry, is yes. Yes, they would. And here is their full answer, so I'm quoting. The income of the applicant may be based on any legal source provided that the applicant has not had unemployment benefit or social assistance for more than a total of 3 months within the last 2 years. Of course, the income has to be sufficient for living. The income of the applicant may be based on, for example, the income of their spouse. Now, quite a few people also asked, what happens if two foreign background spouses apply for citizenship at the same time? In this case, the ministry said, if both spouses apply for citizenship, the fulfilment of the criteria is assessed individually. And finally, to category 5. Now, I think in all of the previous categories, we can see the effects that this new law will have on people's lives. But in this category, it's quite stark the impact that law changes, such as this one, can have on very vulnerable people, because this category relates to children. Now, we received the following message from a listener, but due to the very sensitive nature of the subject and the fact that it relates to a vulnerable person, we have used an AI voice tool to protect their identity.
I am extremely concerned about how the changes will impact my daughter. She is 28 years old, permanently disabled, and completely dependent on me. I am a citizen. She has lived here since 2020 but didn't get her first day permit application approved until June 2022. Because of her limited cognitive abilities, learning the language or passing a citizenship test is impossible for her. Although she attends a job training program on weekdays, supporting herself through work in the future is unrealistic as well. She is able to function about the level of an elementary schooler. I am very concerned about her ability to even get a permanent residence permit because of the law change that is coming with that. Without permanent residency or citizenship, she would be at risk of deportation if something tragic were to happen to me. There is no other family in her country of origin, and these issues are on my mind daily.
And I put this question to the ministry. They replied to me, and this is a quote again, there is an exemption that may be granted for persons with long-term disabilities who cannot reasonably be expected to fulfill the income requirement. We also heard from many people who are not themselves citizens and neither are their children about what will happen to their children when they turn 18. One parent wrote to express their fear that their child, who has grown up in Finland and is essentially Finnish, could be deported if they do not meet the criteria for citizenship or residency. So I asked the ministry about these cases as well, and they said that people who have recently turned 18 may submit their own application for citizenship and it will be assessed on its own merits. In some situations, it is also possible to submit a declaration for citizenship, and there is more information about that on Migri's website. But we're nearly done with this particular part, part two. But I want to say before we move on that thank you to everyone who submitted questions and comments and shared their stories and their experiences over the past few days. I read every single one and I replied to or tried to answer here as many as I could. We are going to take a quick break again, but when we come back, we will look at where else people can get help or advice on citizenship issues. Okay, the topic of the granting of Finnish citizenship to foreign nationals has been very much in the news here in Finland ever since the refugee crisis of 2015, or 10 years ago, when the number of applications jumped from about 6,000 or 7,000 per year to about 11,000 or 12,000. The numbers have since leveled off, even dropping quite significantly during the COVID pandemic. And last year, the Finnish Immigration Service, Migri, processed a total of 14,000 applications, of which over 12,000 were approved. So I mentioned earlier I spoke to Migri this week, and I also asked them if there has been a noticeable increase in the number of applications they have received since news of these latest changes were announced. And they said there hasn't been. I also asked if they expect a significant increase, and they said that they didn't. But they also told me that the introduction of this new citizenship test, which, as I mentioned earlier, is stage 3 of the government's reforms, they said that is a major reform and it will put significant strain on Migri's resources. They also told me that budget cuts will lead to a reduction in Migri staff with a knock-on effect on service levels. So that leaves the question that where should you turn if you need help or advice with these citizenship matters? Well, one option is the Finnish Refugee Advice Centre, which, despite its name, does provide legal aid and advice to all foreigners in Finland, as well as to asylum seekers and refugees. So I spoke to Pia Lindfors. She is executive director of the centre. And she told me that they have indeed seen a significant uptick in contacts ever since the current government came into power.
We heard already then, and we have seen later, that many people kind of panicked and applied for Finnish citizenship without fulfilling the requirements at that point, which has led to a lot of negative decisions that actually people ask us if they could appeal, but we end up giving them legal advice too late about the requirements, and so that they actually, well, we give them advice not to appeal, but then instead wait until they fulfill their requirements and leave another application. So that was sort of a panic reaction from many people, who, because the media publicity at that point was quite common, actually.
Yeah.
So people really were and are quite aware of all these tightening legislation changes.
Okay. And with all of that in mind, what would you like to see doing differently, or what should be done differently to kind of improve this situation?
Well, these strict, totally unfounded changes should simply be cancelled. I mean, there were absolutely no grounds for these changes. They are purely ideological, I would say. Instead, there should be a clear, predictable sort of future or path for migrants to stay in Finland if they want to. Because the current policies, the recent legislation changes and the future legislation changes really mean that, and I think that people quite correctly have understood that they are not welcome in Finland.
And that was Pia Lindfors there of the Finnish Refugee Advice Centre. Before we move on to the news roundup, I really want to thank everyone who took the time to contact us about this subject over the past week. And please do continue to send us your thoughts and your comments on this topic or anything else that's on your mind. You can send us a message or a voice note via WhatsApp to +358 44 421 0909. Or you can also send us an email, allpointsnorth@yle.fi. Now for a quick roundup of what else has been making the headlines in Finland this week. And in keeping with the theme of this week's podcast, we start with the news that a new study published this week has revealed that immigrants are a net benefit to Finland's public finances. The research found that foreign language speakers account for about 10% of the population, but collect only about 5% of welfare benefits or other income transfers. A spokesperson for the research group said these findings debunk the myth that immigrants are a burden on Finland's public finances. In this week's other news, Finland's education ministry announced that schools in 5 cities across Finland will begin offering the upper secondary education curriculum in English from 2026. The ministry said that the move aims to make Finland more attractive to international students and to citizens returning from abroad with young children. In political news, Yle's latest monthly poll of voters found that the opposition Social Democratic Party is still the most popular party in the country, with support from 1 in 4 voters. Prime Minister Petteri Orpo's NCP party also saw its support rise, while almost every other party saw its popularity drop slightly compared to last month's results. And the Finnish Parliament approved a bill this week that will allow people to claim rebates from the state if they turn in their old cars and buy new, lower-emission vehicles. If owners of cars that are at least 10 years old replace them with a fully electric or hydrogen-powered vehicle, they will receive some €2,500 towards the purchase. And finally, people in Finland are eating more eggs than ever before, according to a report published this week. The average Finn consumes about 12 kilograms of eggs per year, or about 4 per week. And that's all we have for another episode of All Points North. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend, then I can highly recommend My Life is Murder, which is streaming on Yle Areena. I started watching it this week, and it's one of those comedy dramas that finds the right mix between being dramatic enough to be interesting and funny enough to be light viewing. Also, it's set in Melbourne and in Auckland, so there's plenty of sunshine too if you're missing that during the depths of a Finnish November. But before I go, I would like to say thank you, or even a huge thank you, to our audio engineer, Katja Kostiainen, for putting the show together today. Siinä will be back next week. Bye for now.